Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. St. Patty's Day is my birthday, so I turned 51 yesterday. We went to St. Pat's Cathedral in downtown Fort Worth, and they had a big reception party afterward, and I had about 500 people saying happy birthday to me, so that was great. So first off, there are many first things I need to say before I start my sharing about my brain cancer fight and what I've learned along the way. So the first verse is in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Spirit, I'm very grateful for having this opportunity to share about my suffering and how you led me through it. Please let everyone hear what you want them to hear for the betterment of their lives and peace for their souls. Also first is my gratitude. Can't express my gratitude enough. My family and I are so deeply grateful to you, my community family, and for so many others God has put into my life. You have prayed for us and given to us in so many ways. You have truly sustained us. I could spend this whole time telling you about how grateful I am, so please know that I'm truly and deeply grateful for all of you. Also first, I'm not in the habit of seeking out public speaking opportunities. But this one sought me out, thanks to Sue and others, I'm sure. And I felt God wanted me to accept this opportunity and step out of my comfort zone, way out, and help the Holy Spirit speak to you through my experiences. Also first, I'm sitting because it decreases my chance of having a seizure. If I do have a seizure, it's no big deal. Don't do anything or call anybody. Just consider it a kind of show and tell. So... also first, this is my almost last first. My suffering is much less than what many of you experience. I believe my suffering many times does not even feel like suffering at all. So suffering is so much a part of all of our lives. All of us could give a sharing on suffering, and we could all learn so much from each other. I have a fairly visible and easy to talk about suffering. Many others have very difficult sufferings, much more difficult than mine, like the death of a child or of a spouse. Other people's sufferings are not very visible and not easy to share openly, like depression, abuse, or addictions. Here's a tip when you hear about someone suffering. When they're speaking to you, please just listen and wait a while before you interject about what you know about that topic. Sometimes you want to share immediately what's on your mind or what you know about. Many times people have told my wife, once she's told them about her husband with brain cancer, they say, oh, brain cancer. I know a friend, her husband got brain cancer and he did really well. He lived for 3 years. It's not very much of a comfort to my wife. I think her suffering has been more than mine for the last 15 years. Speaking of 15, my 15-year grace anniversary will be this June. Praise the Lord. I'll be fighting brain cancer for the rest of my life, either getting rid of it or keeping it out. So some of you know the parts of the story, but here's a very short version, trimmed from 15 years to roughly 10 minutes. So on June 19th, 2003, on a Thursday at Camp Jesus, I was volunteering as the chief gopher in charge of water and trashes and so forth, and it was a hot, hot summer week. So I felt a little ill or off, so I wanted to go to the pool to cool off. So I went down to the pool, which is right back there, and it's not being used anymore, so no more chances of these incidents. They use a water slide now. So I jumped in the pool and drowned from a seizure due to the unknown brain tumor. I jumped in and felt like I had a jackhammer strapped to my left leg, and I knew it was a seizure. I'd never had one before, but I knew it was a seizure. And then I felt myself sinking. I couldn't control my body. I felt like the water was just going up. Of course, that was me sinking. And I had the grace of total abandonment to God and felt totally at peace, just thinking, well, if they pull me out, they pull me out. It was truly a peaceful situation. And then obviously I was resuscitated, but only after the lifeguard figured out that I wasn't joking. I am a bit of a practical joker, so I was shaking at the bottom of the pool, and she thought I wanted to show the kids a save, so to speak. So she finally went down there at the encouragement of my helpers, who said, I don't think he's joking. So once she got me up, she thought, why aren't you shaking anymore? Why aren't you fighting me? Isn't this a show? So she got me to the top, and then she put my head back on her shoulder, and I was blue from my neck up. So then she kind of went into automatic mode. And then some strong teenagers had to pull me out of the pool. Dead weight is, even though I'm not a big guy, dead weight is pretty hard to get out of a pool. Let's see. So thanks be to God, I'm still receiving the daily grace to fight the brain cancer and fulfill my primary vocation as a husband and father. Definitely believe if I wasn't a husband or father, I wouldn't still be here. So both during the drowning and during the two brain surgeries following, I received an overwhelming gift of grace that gave me total peacefulness in my thoughts while drowning and before the surgeries. This was certainly not bravery or positive thinking. It was a pure gift for which I'm very grateful. Whereas I had the grace of being totally at peace with abandonment to God, Brenda, my wonderful wife, felt very differently. With our oldest being in first grade, his first year at camp, we had my son Nathan, who's now 17, he was in diapers, as well as John Paul, who shared here the other day, he was in diapers, so two in diapers. Our fourth child, Amanda, was on the way. Brenda was pregnant. And she had a husband who may not ever walk or talk and may even die from the surgeries. And Juan doesn't mean first necessarily, it means Juan Hernandez. So, to bring up the next slide, let's see. Okay. So, the picture you have is an MRI, or a couple of MRIs. They aren't from the day from when I first went to hospital, but they're akin to that. So, this is actually from a year and a half ago. But the bottom two look virtually like what they looked like when I went to the hospital. The right side is the tumor itself, and the left side is the swelling, debris, brain damage, dead cells, and so forth. The top section is what it looks like, about what it looks like right now. So the tumor is virtually all gone. If it's there, it's hard to tell if it is or not. It's very subjective. On the left side, it's still about like that. So that's what causes my impairments currently. Ease of having a seizure, difficulty riding and walking, and I'm not able to drive. Haven't been driving for a couple of years now. And, oh, so this picture is actually the progress from 1 month to the very next month after about 31 days of treatment on some high-end cocktail of gene therapy medicines from October of 2016. Some of you know about my challenges with that. And then the next slide, Juan, is me with half hair. My wife has enough hair there to make up for the both of us. And at the time, she was pregnant with Amanda, our 14-year-old daughter. So she's beautiful. And Juan, the next slide. This is... Okay, I call this my Jesus clearing the temple picture. So that's the camp T-shirt for that year. And of course, you see Jesus at the bottom of the picture. So I like that picture. I do like having my hair back, though. So the baldness, of course, is from some of the treatments. And had I known then what I know now, I probably wouldn't have gone about treatments in the same way. So a lot of my issues now are still from the negative side effects from the standard treatments that I did do. Juan. Okay, no more pictures. So the scriptures are easy for us to know sometimes. We all know scriptures and we can say them and quote them, but many times they're very difficult once you actually have to put them into practice or have faith in using them. I'm sure many of you know that. When you're hit with something, it's difficult to quote and believe these scriptures. So, of course, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And then Jeremiah 29:11-13. Juan. Thank you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. So with the grace of God, I continually accept and choose to embrace my challenges with brain cancer. So the rest of this is going to be about controlling and suffering versus embracing and being peaceful. So in order to live longer, it's very important to frame what some people call suffering, to frame it as a situation or a challenge or an opportunity. So accepting something does not mean accepting the prognosis someone gives you, because they may be an expert in their field, but they don't know all the answers, and they certainly don't know about your future. So my prognosis, people ask, I have about, they said at first I had about 3 to 5 years to live. Of course, that was long ago. And I believe I have 49 more years to live, getting me to 100. But of course, none of us are guaranteed even to get home today. It's sobering, but that's the way it is. So I decided not to accept the statistical prognosis. We need to take statistics as information, not condemnation. I obviously don't have total control, but the way God designed our bodies, our attitudes actually do have an effect on our physiology, positive or negative. So it's important to have a positive and empowered mindset. Father Ron Rahlheiser, many of you have probably read some of his books, even says that a primary part of being a Christian is to have a relaxed and mellow demeanor. So my healing will be through either the high-tech gene therapies or a child's simple prayer, however he wants to use. Okay, the next slide is a quote from the book, which is the same thing about accepting and embracing. But when we have the grace to accept the suffering and consent to it, it becomes at once much less painful. Peaceful suffering is no longer suffering. Our freedom can transform any event in our lives into an expression of love, abandonment, trust, hope, and offering. Everything is a grace. Those two really sum up the whole chapter on suffering. Then lastly, Juan, my notes from covenant meeting back on April the 29th of 2010 is a note I found when I was preparing for this. If something burdens me, then I'm holding on to it, trying to control the situation, and have not given it to God. When I give control to God, I can relax and know that God will work how he wills. I need to get rid of the burden and accept the obedience to the will of God, which is perfect and totally fulfilling. So here's the deal God offers us. If we get rid of our burden, he'll give us total fulfillment. That's a pretty good deal. I have to keep reminding myself of that deal. So again, we get rid of our burden and receive total fulfillment. Amen.